Go to the book of Genesis tonight, Genesis chapter 4. I want to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 16. Be reading in the New King James Version. Genesis chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance failed. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. Here in our text in Genesis 4 and verse 1, Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man. Hard for us to notice in the English version of this text, but in the Hebrew there's a play on words here. Play on the word Cain and the play on the word acquire. Because the word Cain in the Hebrew means acquire. Eve had said that she had acquired Cain. He is named Cain. That is, he has been acquired. Evidently by the help or aid of the Lord, by the help of the aid of God, she has acquired a man. Evidently, Cain was thought of by perhaps his parents as being the seed that God had promised them earlier, Genesis 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Perhaps Adam and Eve was thinking, well, we've acquired a man by the help or the aid of the Lord. This must be the seed. But it wasn't a helpful seed. It was a harmful seed. It wasn't the Christ, because he provided no hope. But they, perhaps, may have thought, I'm just suggesting, they may have thought he might have been the seed. And that's why he was named Cain, one acquired by the help of the Lord. The Bible warns us to avoid the way of Cain. In Jude verse 11, Woe to them, speaking of false teachers, for they have gone in the way of Cain, the way or the path of Cain. Way has, or path has, reference to one's conduct, one's actions, one's behavior. It's the course of life that Cain took. And since we're warned to avoid the way of Cain, the path of Cain, the course of life that he took, we need to choose ours as well as he chose his. But we need to make a better choice than the choice that he made. So let's consider the choices of Cain, because they were his downfall. We don't want to follow the path or the way of Cain. And so let us make not make the same choices that he made. First of all, we note that Cain chose to offer God vain worship, when God evidently had required them to worship him in a certain way. Cain refused to offer in the way that God evidently had told them to offer. Verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their flat. Note this, and the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. What had God told them to bring? Well, according to our study of Hebrews, in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered to Cain a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. Abel offered by faith, which tells us, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17, that they must have been told what to offer. Because Abel could not have offered by faith if God had not told them what to offer. But since Abel offered by faith, Cain did not offer by faith. Thus he offered that which God had not authorized. He offered that which was vain, which he supposed perhaps should have been offered. Since he was a tiller of the ground, he brought of the fruit of the ground. He offered what we might refer to as will worship or vain worship. In Colossians 2 and verse 23, in regard to the commandments and doctrines of men, Paul said, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, self-imposed worship. That is, the commandments and doctrines or teachings of men. That is what men suppose God will be pleased with. They indeed have an appearance of wisdom, but they're self-imposed. They come from man. They do not come from God. They're not God-ordained, but man-ordained. And evidently, Cain lacked faith in God, faith in the carrying out what God had required of him. If Abel offered by faith, it's evident that Cain could have offered by faith as well. But he did not. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He simply could have done that which God had required of him, but he did not. He rejected it. Thus, he opposed God in the vain worship that he offered. In Matthew 15 and in verse 3 and following, Jesus said, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me is a gift to God. Now note what's under consideration. God had told them, honor your father and your mother. To honor their father and their mother meant to take care of them, show respect for them. If they need something in their older years, provide for them, care for them, minister to them, serve them in their needs. But some in the first century, because of a covetous nature, that which they had, perhaps financial profit, financial gain, they desired to keep it for themselves instead of spending it taking care of their elderly parents, honoring their parents. And so he says, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you may have received from me, it's a gift to God. I've already promised it to God. And because I've promised it to God, I can't change that promise. I made a vow to God that I was going to give it to him. And since they made a vow to God to give it to him, they can't break that vow, they can't break that promise, so I can't keep the commandment to honor father and mother. So Jesus said, then he who need not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's what Cain had done. He simply acted contrary to the will of God in the matter, rejected God's wish, evidently, of a blood sacrifice, which Abel offered, but he would not offer. Many people are in that same position today. Well, surely God will be pleased with us like musical instruments. It's simply a supposition on their part. They believe God will be pleased with it, but God has never said in His Word He's pleased with it. But they suppose He will be pleased with it. It's vain. It's will worship. It's self-imposed worship and not worship imposed by God. Worshiping God without divine authority is simply vain. Cain had no authority for what he did. If he had authority for what he did, he would have offered by faith. In John 4, in verse 23, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." In spirit, that is, with a proper attitude and disposition of heart, and worship will be offered according to that which is true. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Colossians 3 and verse 17, "Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus," that is, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Every act we render toward God must be authorized by God. If God is going to accept it, if He's going to be pleased with it, it must be authorized by Him. It cannot be self-imposed worship, because God sees our worship. He knows what we're doing. He sees our heart in the matter. Again, in Genesis 4 and verse 4, "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel in his offering." That word "respected" in the Hebrew carries the idea that God looked upon it. He looked upon it, and He showed favor to Abel because of it. He approved of Abel and the offering. But He did not respect. When He looked upon Cain and his offering, He did not show favor toward it. He did not approve of it. And so when God looks upon our worship, what does He see? Does He look upon our worship with favor? Does He look upon our worship with approval? Cain chose to offer God vain worship. Let's not do the same. Let's not follow in the path of Cain. Cain also chose to increase his sin. Not only had he rejected the will of God in reference to worship, that was enough. But he chose to increase his sin. The path of Cain, you might say, is littered with all sorts of sin. So what does he do? Genesis 4, again, verse 5 and following. "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?'" If you do well, that is, if you do good, if you do that which is good, if you do that which is righteous, if you do that which is upright in my sight, will you not be accepted? Will I not look upon you with favor? Will I not look upon you with approval? Well, the answer to that is yes. Sin's not forced upon us. We choose it. If you do well, will you not be accepted? We make the choice. We can do good. We can do that which is right, upright, and virtuous in the sight of God, so He'll be pleased and approved with it. Or we can choose to do that which is evil. It's simply left up to us. The choice is in our hands. Remember in Genesis 6, the question was asked, "Shall we sin that grace may abound?" Paul said, "Certainly not. God forbid. Let it never be said. Do you not know as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death?" And in verse 4, he says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we should also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." So we have a choice. We can be a slave of sin or not be a slave of sin. After becoming children of God, we ought not to seek to serve sin. But that's what Cain was doing. He wasn't forced. He had the choice. And he chose to sin. Sin was reigning over him. Romans 6 and in verse 12. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. Obey what in its lust? It's your mortal body, your physical flesh. Because your physical flesh is going to lead you astray. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. So sin is not forced upon us. We have the choice to do good or to do evil. Cain simply chose to do that which is evil. He could have chosen to repent, but he did not. Again, if you do well, will you not be accepted? He had already offered up vain, self-imposed worship. He had a choice. He could have repented. He could have gotten himself right with God, but he did not. He chose to increase his sin. And Cain's sins, of course, included anger. In verse 5, but God did not respect Cain and his offering. He did not look favorably upon Cain, nor his offering. He did not approve of it. And because of that, Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. He was very angry. Very angry means that he was infuriated, filled with wrath, you might say, incensed. And the anger was a fire, you might say, in his soul. As a matter of fact, the word anger here in the Hebrew has reference to that which burns. If you can picture in your mind for a moment, sometimes you've seen cartoons in the past, I'm sure, where someone becomes real angry and all of a sudden their blood boils up to the top of their head, they're heated up. That's kind of anger that Cain had. Who was he angry with? Well, he was angry at God because God had rejected him and his offering. And so he was incensed, and the anger was a fire in his soul. Colossians 3 and in verse 8, but we as children of God are sold, but now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Put it off. Take it off like a garment and cast it aside, never to pick it up and put it back on. Because the sin of anger is going to lead to other sins. And that's what Cain chose to do. Vain worship wasn't enough. Being angry at God for being displeased with him wasn't enough. No. You know, anger prevents a great deal of things in our life. When we become angry at people, it prevents us from being kind to them, showing compassion to them. Because as long as we have anger in our heart toward one, we'll not express kindness, we'll not express compassion or mercy toward others, as long as we're angry toward them. In Ephesians 4 and in verse 31, Paul said, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. You note how those phrases build? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. You know what bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor do? They make you speak evil of one another. That is, they make you blaspheme one another. That is, they make you try to destroy one's reputation. Instead, we ought to be kind to one another. But if you're angry, it prevents you being kind. It prevents you being tender-hearted. It prevents you forgiving one another. And so, Cain on this occasion simply would not, you might say, give it up. Again, he chose to increase his sin. Becoming angry with God wasn't enough. He was envious toward his brother. Genesis 4 again, and in verse 4, the Lord respected Abel in his offering, showed favor to Abel in his offering, approved of Abel in his offering, but he didn't show the same to Cain's offering. And so Cain became envious of Abel. That is, he had displeasure in seeing God's approval on his brother, but not upon him. In Titus 3 and in verse 3, Paul said, "For we ourselves," including himself, "were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy." Certainly true that Cain had malice, that is, the desire to bring injury to his brother later on as he sought to increase his sin. So from anger to envy to malice or hatred for his brother. Galatians 5 and verse 21, we learn that it's one of the works of the flesh. So sin is continuing in the life of Cain. He simply chooses to increase his sin one after another. And the anger and envy brings about hatred for his brother. 1 John 3 and in verse 11 in our reading tonight, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Note this, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. The point is, Cain didn't love his brother. What's the opposite of love? He hated his brother. So Cain increases in his sin from anger to envy to hatred now for his brother. Let's not follow the path or the way of Cain. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He was envious of him. In verse 15 of 1 John 3, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. Doesn't mean that you're a literal murderer. You haven't literally murdered him yet. But hatred for your brother will lead to that. That's what it leads to. Just as we see in the life of Cain. Hatred led to murder. Genesis 4 and in verse 8, "Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him, killed him, murdered him." Where did it come from? It was in his heart. Having been filled with anger and envy and hatred, what do we suppose is going to happen? Can we not see it coming? Mark 7 and verse 20, Jesus said, "What comes out of man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man." Cain was a very sinful individual. But it all started, how did it start? Rejecting God's will in his life. Rejecting God's authority over him. God had the right to demand what should be offered in sacrifice to him. Abel evidently followed God's demand because he offered by faith. Cain rejected the will of God. He rejected the authority of God over him. And from that, Cain simply chose to increase his sin. Then he chose to lie to God. If all of that which he had done before wasn't enough, he continues. Genesis 4 and in verse 9. "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Where is Abel your brother?' He said, 'I do not know.'" He knew where he was at. Well, God knew where he was at as well. God's giving him the opportunity to repent again. God's giving him the opportunity to get his life right. But what does he do? He lies to God. "I do not know." And then he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Am I the one who is supposed to take care of him, watch over him, care for him, be concerned for him? Yes. When men lie to God, they simply try to deceive and fight against God. Cain had been doing this from the very beginning, hadn't he? Hebrews 4 and in verse 13, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." What made Cain think he could lie to God and get away with it? He could not get away with it. Cain couldn't get away with it. Just like Ananias and Sapphira didn't get away with it. Acts chapter 5, remember? They lied and they died. Cain, on this occasion, he lied and he could have died, but God showed mercy to him, giving him every opportunity to get his life right. Sometimes we lie to God. Sometimes we lie to God when we claim to love him, but do not love our brother. 1 John 4 and verse 20, "If someone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?" So we lie to God when we claim to love God, but we do not love our brother. Sometimes we lie to God when we claim to give as we have prospered, while actually giving less. We lie to God. Sometimes we lie to God when we claim to be his people, yet we live by the world's standard instead of his standard. Sometimes we lie to God when we say, "I'll do better, I'll repent," but then we go on living the same way. We just lie to God. Sometimes we lie to God when we sing godly sentiments, but then we live unholy or impure lives. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 19, "Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." But let us not sing godly sentiments from our heart and then live unholy and ungodly lives. If we do, we lie to God. And God will not be mocked. He will not be deceived. He knows. He knows what's in our heart. Galatians 6 and verse 7, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." Revelation 21 and verse 8, we learn that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Cain chose as well to leave the presence of God. It was a choice that he made. He didn't have to leave the presence of God, but he made that choice. Cain chose sin instead of repentance, remember? Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. He went out from the presence of the Lord. He left the presence of the Lord. You might say he severed his fellowship with God. In doing that, he chose to simply continue in sin rather than repent and get his life right. Again, in verse 7 of Genesis 4, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do that which is righteous, if you do that which is upright, pleasing and acceptable to me, will you not be accepted?" Yes, but Cain chose not to do that. "And if you do not go well, sin lies at the door." Some versions, "sin lies" as "sin crouching at the door," like a crouching beast waiting to pounce upon you when you open the door to leave. "And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." Sin crouches at the door like a crouching beast, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." So sin sought, Satan sought Cain, and sought to devour him in sin. God brings sinners under judgment. And that's what he did to Cain. He brought judgment to bear upon Cain. He didn't let him get away with what he had done, but he brought judgment to bear upon him. Genesis 4 and in verse 11. So now you're cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. A fugitive. Fugitive is a wanderer. Just wanders about. A vagabond is someone who wanders aimlessly and endlessly without a place to call home. And that's the way he was going to be. Because the ground would no longer produce its fruit. Remember, he was a tiller of the ground. So God pronounced this judgment upon him. He did not let him get away with his sin. And God will not let us get away with our sin. Romans 1 and verse 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That which Cain had done suppressed the truth in his unrighteous acts. Suppressed that which God desired. He was held accountable for it. Romans 2 and verse 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. In accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart. It's not that they cannot repent. They will not repent. Their hardness, that is their stubbornness and rebellion. And Cain evidently was like that as he sought to increase in sin. Satan was simply crouching at the door for him. All who are disobedient will be held accountable. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Cain would no longer succeed then as a farmer. He would be banished to a life of wandering, that of being a fugitive and a vagabond. Even then Cain had no sorrow for his sin. Even though God had cursed him and the ground which would not produce its fruit for him, you would have thought that perhaps, well, God, I'm going to change. I'm going to get my life right. But that wasn't Cain's attitude. There was only sorrow and remorse over the punishment that he received. Note how he complains. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. Oh, he's so sorrowful and remorseful over the punishment he received. It was way too much for him to bear. And anyone that would find him would kill him. That wasn't God's intent. As a matter of fact, God was merciful to him. God was so merciful to him. Note, verse 15, the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. What did God do to many in the Old Testament who sinned against him like Cain did? He brought about their death, and sometime he brought about their death immediately. But he spared Cain. He showed mercy and compassion upon Cain. But even that did not cause Cain to repent. Remember, Cain left the presence of the Lord. He went out from the presence of the Lord. God didn't drive him away from his presence. He left the presence of the Lord. But God showed him mercy. Just as he shows us mercy. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wanted Cain to come to repentance, but he would not. God wants us to come to repentance. Will we be stubborn and rebellious like Cain? Cain left the presence of the Lord. He ended his fellowship with God. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." All of this had brought about Cain's lack of fellowship now with God. Shall we allow sin to destroy our fellowship with God and our souls? That's what it did to Cain. We see his downfall. Where did it begin? Well, it began with his rejection of God's authority. His rejection of God's authority over him. God had the right to tell him what to offer. But Cain said, "I suppose that this will be as good as a blood sacrifice." It was will worship, vain worship. It all starts with a rejection of God's authority over one's life. If you'll not allow God to have authority over your life, if all that you do in your life is not in harmony with the will of God, that is, if it's not done in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing it without His authority. You're doing it without His approval. You're doing it without His favor. And God will not look favorably upon that action. You will sever yourself from fellowship with God. Cain was faithless. He simply did not know God. He thought he could worship God his way and be accepted. He thought he could murder his brother without any responsibility, and he thought he could lie to God and get away with it. Cain indeed acquired his destiny by the choices he made in life. And we will acquire our destiny by the choices we make in our life. But let us not follow the path or the way of Cain. The lesson is yours. If you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, our desire is that you would become one. Through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and He is merciful and faithful to forgive you of that sin, cleanse you in the blood of His Son, restore you to a rightful place in His sight. All things are ready. Come and make your desires known as we stand and sing the song selected.